This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Monica Ricks. Authorities near Philadelphia say a six-year-old little girl who got swept away in Chester Creek last night is likely dead. Chester Fire Commissioner John Paul Shirley.
We still have boats out on the Delaware River, and they're checking both New Jersey and Pennsylvania side of the Delaware River. This is no longer a rescue effort. It's a recovery effort.
The girl's family says she was just playing near the creek when she slipped in mud and got pulled by strong currents last night. The Midwest is getting hit by strong snowstorms now.
Parts of Minnesota could see up to 16 inches of snow before it's all said and done. And with the temperatures hovering around 30, that makes it dicey getting around with a rain, ice, and snow mix in some places. MnDOT spokesperson Ann Meyer advising people to steer clear of snowplows who
drive slower and in between lanes to get roads in the clear. So we want you to stay clear of our drivers so that they can get the job done.
Susie Jones for CBS News, Minneapolis.
Former President Trump faces a massive legal and financial deadline tomorrow in New York City, where he has to pay a $500 million bond for a civil fraud judgment. CBS's Robert Costa reports if he can't pay that, the state could seize Trump's assets as collateral.
It is clear the Attorney General of New York is moving very aggressively, already has a file in Westchester County to begin the process of seizing assets in that area of New York, and she could use a marshal or a sheriff to begin freezing Trump's bank accounts and taking prized properties like Trump Tower and 40 Wall Street in the coming weeks.
Terror group ISIS-K has claimed responsibility for the concert hall attack that's now killed 137 people in Russia since Friday. Former CBS Moscow Bureau Chief Beth Noble has more.
One of the attackers at Russia's Crocus City Hall was wearing a body camera, and Russian social media sites have published a snippet of the footage. It's absolutely gruesome, and it's certainly going to help the Russians prosecute the four men in custody who are accused of killing well over 100 concertgoers.
At least two of those four men have now been charged for the attack. More than 150 people also injured, many still in critical condition. Pope Francis condemned the attack during a short speech today at Palm Sunday Mass in St. Peter's Square, but decidedly skipped his homily over ongoing respiratory issues. The speech kicks off a busy Holy Week at the Vatican. And consider this, the Olympics for servers. More than 100 waiters and waitresses race for more than a mile through Paris today, carrying trays with a cup of coffee, a croissant, and a glass of water. The century-old race was resurrected after a 13-year hiatus. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. More young Americans are getting colorectal cancer. Doctors are urging people to get screened earlier. Eric Tegedoff reports.
March is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. Colorectal cancer is the third most common form of cancer and the second most lethal form in the world. Dr. Margaret Chen with Kaiser Permanente says the number of younger Americans with advanced stages of colorectal cancer has gone up in recent decades, prompting the U.S. Preventive Service Task Force to lower its recommended screening age from 50 to 45.
This is surprising to a lot of us, but the statistics have shown this change from what we used to think is a disease for older people to now a disease for younger people.
Chin says the proportion of cases for people under 55 has nearly doubled over the last 25 years. However, she also notes the total number of colorectal cancer cases has actually declined, and that's likely due to better detection. Chin says there are options for how people can get screened. The traditional method is by colonoscopy, but a newer method is the FIT-KIT test, which can be used at home. Chin says it's important to find the option that works best for each person.
The best screening test is the one that you will do. So I just want to encourage people that we cannot find cancer if we're not looking for it. So please talk to your provider about getting screened as soon as you can.
Colonoscopies are typically done every 10 years, while the FIT tests are taken every year. With FIT kits, doctors look for microscopic blood and stool samples. I'm Eric Tegedoff. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Either Trump is broke or he's lying to the court. Either way, we'll talk about it on the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Tune in to the Monday edition, 4 to 6 across the Civic Media Network.
Our meteorologist Rodney Price. Snow will be heavy at times for today with highs in the mid-30s, and we'll see a gusty southeast wind up around 30 miles per hour. Snow changing to rain and snow before this is all said and done. 3 to 6 inches of accumulation in the area. Right now, it's 31.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin.
For all of Wisconsin.
Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Up first on this weekend's edition of Civic Media Spotlight, we head to northeastern Wisconsin for a conversation from My Now and the Mayor.
Coming to northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Minow, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Minow and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Minow and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back to Minow and the Mayor here. Warming up a little bit, 33 in Green Bay, 32 in Appleton, 33 in Oshkosh. Is it still windy out there, Stephanie? It was like a cold wind this morning.
It is cold.
Very cold.
It's a north wind, right?
Yeah. It was
warming up. Wasn't it 32? It's 33.
Not getting up much. Yeah. We've got a very interesting. Sandra's always great, isn't she?
Yes.
Isn't she fun? A great guest today. Rob Domofsky from ESPN is coming up later on today. But Stephanie Krubsack, who has just led a fascinating life. The first time I met you, you were like Miss Czech days. Remember that?
Yeah, Miss Czechoslovak, Wisconsin.
Miss
in 09.
Czechoslovakia, Wisconsin. You came on IXX with us at the time. And
I
then
did.
We got to know each other, and you know, one side of my family is all Czech, and you know, and Dom and my Julian. But anyway, I just want to talk first. You're involved with a really exciting thing right now with the Packers program, but also I was telling Jim, I said, you're not going to believe this. I followed her on Facebook. She travels to these most exotic countries, Vietnam and Cambodia and Thailand and all these places just by herself and blogging about the places and the food and things like that. I found that so interesting. But as a dad of two daughters, I would have had to travel with them. I would have been so nervous worrying about that. What was that like going to all these crazy countries? I shouldn't say crazy countries, but countries you wouldn't. It's not like, hey, I'm going to go to Cambodia next week.
Right.
What was that like going to these places?
Like Paris.
Yeah, it was amazing. I started with a one-way ticket to Portugal, and I was gone for 8 months. I did 25 countries.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, just meeting people from all over, the food, the culture. It was a really wonderful experience.
How do you, 25 countries,
that's amazing.
I mean, I couldn't name 25, but you get there and how do you meet people? Just your personality, or do you go to the chamber office, or you go to schools?
Yeah, the Cambodian Chamber of Commerce.
I took a lot of cooking classes, and actually I did couch surfing, which is a website and app where you stay with locals. So that was very, very interesting.
Wow.
So you stay in the home with them, you learn, you know, where the best museums, the best restaurants, they talk about their family history. It's very, very cool.
What are some of the cool things that you remember and some of the things that I wouldn't want to do that again?
I think some of the really interesting ways were the means of travel. So I know I was going from Bosnia to Montenegro and we had to stop for a herd of sheep. That happened one time. Another time I was in Morocco going to the Atlas Mountains on a hike and we were in this car, which was a cab, and there was like 8 of us in this car and then this random bus that had people standing in like 4 to a seat. It was just very insane. But we got there safely.
Were you ever scared over there doing these things?
Sometimes, but I always pretended like I knew where I was going.
Okay. What was the scariest country of the bunch where you wouldn't want to rock? Because I've heard people that travel to like you mentioned Bosnia and those kind of places. So don't go out at night by yourself for a beer in the local pubs. So did you find any of those kind of places?
Some places in Malaysia were interesting, in Kuala Lumpur, but mostly pretty safe, I would say.
Okay.
Did you always have a place? Like, how does that? I just think that's unbelievable. Eight months of,
yeah.
Like, not a vagabond, but I mean, it wasn't like it was all planned out. I'm here this night, I'm here that night.
Exactly. It was a bit winging it sometimes.
Right.
So yeah, hostels sometimes where you just stop in and grab a room. Yeah. But never outside.
Wow. Okay. What's some of the craziest food you ate?
I had a lot of bugs in Cambodia. I tried them all at least once, but I will not do it again.
Bugs?
Yeah, like tarantulas and winged
you
ants.
You did not eat a tarantula?
A tarantula leg, I did.
Oh my God.
My favorite.
What else?
Just, I think, a lot of the cultural food, too, for the different holidays. Like, Malaysia had a lot of great food. Very, very interesting mixture and combination. So.
Wow.
And were people good to Americans? Or were you, I mean, you're Czech, but, I mean, were people... You know, you hear this time, people like us, people don't like us.
Yeah, I would say majority were very kind, so, yeah.
Can people still see your things from your travels?
Yeah, I still have my website with a lot of travel blogs, food articles.
Give that, because people need to see what you did.
Okay.
What's the address?
Skparfait.com.
Skparfait.
On my Instagram.
Nice. Well, tell us now about your other great thing that you're involved with your company.
Yeah, so the Packers Protege Mentorship Program is really great, where they pair you with an executive, a professional. They don't have to be local, but they help you really grow your business and, you know, define what your services are, your products, things like that. So it's a really great program, and I'm excited to be part of it.
And what is your product? What is your company?
So Pierrevent Living, I do sustainability marketing communications, workshops for companies. So it can be really overwhelming when you don't know how to get started in the sustainability space. So what do you do? How do you track things? Do you need certifications? Do you need reports? So how do you do all of that? And how do you share that with your stakeholders? And then I have the media side with the magazine and podcast called Person and Planet, where I share these great sustainability wellness stories on there.
I mean, do you put out your own magazine?
I do.
How cool is that?
I love that name, Planet. Like, the name of your magazine is what?
Person and Planet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you, and you've been, you're the student, right? Barb Lemieux is your...
for the Protege program.
For the Protege program. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's pretty cool. I mean, you're going to learn a lot from her. How often do you meet? Is there a cost to this? The Packers have been doing this for some time, but I went to many, many graduations, which is just awesome. But
yeah,
tell me about how that program works.
Yeah, it's free for entrepreneurs, which is amazing. And you meet once a month with your mentor. And then there's workshops and training events throughout the year, too, which is really great. So it could be accounting. It could be, you know, your brand, marketing. Mm-hmm.
How do you have the energy to do all this stuff?
Right?
I mean, your own magazine, your own podcast, your own this, your own company. And I'm going to 25 company or 25 countries. How do you get the energy to do all these things?
I don't know. I just live off of air and good energy. I don't know.
we're trying to fight it to stay here for another 45 minutes. No, I'm just
coffee helps.
This is really interesting, and I mentioned that Anthony
Bourdain.
Mm-hmm. He was here in Green Bay. Do you know that? He was at the Widener Center.
Really? I saw him when I lived in Denver, actually, in person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he did that, and just an unbelievable following. People are really interested. We talk about food being, you can learn about a country through their food. Mm-hmm. There's just a lot, and I think that's really cool. I want to look that up tonight, or this afternoon when I get home.
Look up her things.
I will.
I mean, just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe where she is now.
Are you going to restart that, although you're kind of off the air for, I mean, you've got to do this Protege thing for a year, but do you plan to reignite that?
Or have you had the traveling bug? Is it gone?
It never goes away. So I haven't been to Europe in a year, but I'm hoping to hit Malta this year and back to Czech Republic. But it'll never go away.
Isn't Czech Republic a beautiful place?
It is.
It really is.
Yes.
I mean, Prague is the nicest big city I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
Give advice on the finances. I mean, it's got to be expensive to travel, but.
Yeah. I planned for a year, actually. So when I was burnt out from IT, I call it my third life crisis. I was 30. I'd never studied abroad. I'm like, okay, now's my chance to do it. I planned for a year. I downsized my expenses, my apartment. I didn't do any big trips. I saved up. So I had that cushion as like the in case, and basically kind of pricing out, you know, what the cost would be roughly and traveling very cheaply. And yeah, I made it happen. So
that's incredible.
That's incredible.
It is.
25
really is.
Countries at once.
Yeah. I love doing that.
Yes.
Wow.
But you know, one thing, when you talk to other people, what are some of the bits of advice you would give them if they want to go traveling. Because it's still a big, scary world out there if you don't know where you're going or whatever. And, you know, I got lost. I always tell Jim that funny story in a certain way of when I was in Afghanistan and I was lost. You know,
we went to the wrong airport.
Well, I was flew into the wrong airport. Gosh. Yeah.
That's happened to me before, too.
Has it? Yes. That can happen to anybody.
There's two in Frankfurt, and I flew my parents to the wrong one, and I was at the other one.
Kidding. Oh, yes. My gosh. Yep. Wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, Dom loves traveling with me because, like, when we came back from Europe and we were in Toronto, and I said, Dom, we got to go on this line here. He goes, no, I don't think so. I said, yep. So we ended up going through customs twice. You know, it's a lot of fun customs twice.
Yeah,
it's pretty happy.
Managing your time.
Yes. But it's just amazing the young people you see traveling now when you travel abroad, isn't it, though? But I don't think for Europeans it's that big of a deal the way it is for Americans, right?
Yeah, exactly. They grew up doing it. A lot of them have a gap year, too. So
right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So you would encourage this.
Definitely.
Like, I'm John, and I got three daughters. You got two. I would be a little apprehensive. But I think it's cool what you did. I applaud you for doing that. I mean,
yeah, thank you.
But you didn't. You don't seem like it was. John asked you, what were your bad moments? You're like, not really. Nothing. Yeah.
I like what you said, though, about act like you.
You know where you're going. Right. Always.
Yeah.
So never be like your nose in your phone or in a map. If you don't know where you're going, step inside of a cafe or shop and figure out how to get there.
Great point. Mm-hmm. Great point. Were you in Italy at all?
I was quite a bit.
Did you ever go to Northern Italy?
More southern? And western. Yeah.
I heard there's a lot of pickpockets in Italy.
I was okay, but yeah, I think everywhere, even here.
Right.
I think we should travel with her.
Yes.
Yeah, let's go. Where do you want to go?
Anywhere in Europe. I want to go to Northern Italy. That's always my dream, is Northern Italy.
All right. What's on your list? Where do you want to go?
Malta, for sure. And then Tanzania is very high on my list to go.
Tanzania.
Yeah.
Where's Tanzania?
Africa? In Africa. Yeah. To go see the wildebeest migration in August.
I've done that.
Mm-hmm. I have been there.
Yeah.
Oh, you have? Okay. Okay.
You have not.
Tanzania.
You've been to Tanzania. Oh, that's right. Your daughter went to school there. His daughter went to school in Tanzania. Yeah. That's right.
Well, let's go there. You want to take us? You can be our guide.
When I got back here, I kissed the ground. I did not like it. They live different than we do. And I just, you know, it was tough. It was tough. I just want to say it was not my style of living. But she was there, so I was there to support her. But wow. I mean, it's amazing. Yeah, it was. It was amazing.
And what do you want to watch? The wallabies? Is that what you said?
Wildebeest migration. Wildebeest. Yeah. Okay. And then you take a safari, and then Olduvai Gorge is there where they found the first hominid upright footprints, and then where Mary and Louis Leakey worked. And then Jane Goodall did work in Tanzania as well, too. So I love her. I saw her when she was in Appleton years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'd like to see those two places.
I mean, I get nervous going to the grocery store.
I was going to say, why are these people so much cooler than that? Why are we doing this show? Why are cool people doing this show?
We got to get different guests.
We got to do something.
They all make us look bad.
We got to get some, you know. Let me bring in some of my buddies.
Yeah.
I'll bring them down from Nagani.
They'll feel like, oh, man, we are successful.
You can't believe it, right, Jim. Now. Well, Stephanie, thank you so much for being here. And this is great. I'm just fascinated by what you've done in your life.
If I could just touch a Packer Protege. So that is full for this year. But if someone is interested in doing that next year, they just apply through.
Yeah, you can sign up now. Yeah, it's like rolling.
It's rolling. Yeah. So you can sign up, say, look, I'm interested in that Protege. And that's a business that's looking for some mentorship. Mm-hmm. Or there's mentors that want to help a small business.
Exactly.
Yeah, and the name of your company again?
Purevant Living.
Love it. Purevant.
Living. Yep.
Living. Correct. Beautiful. Stephanie Krupczak, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. When we come back, Rob Dabowski will be joining us from ESPN. Mino the Mayor, back after this.
Mino and the Mayor is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WISS and WGBW weekday mornings from 6 until 9. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Thanks for listening to this Civic Media station. You're one of thousands of people tuned in right now, whether on the radio, the app, the podcast, or stream. Audio is the number one source of information and entertainment among adults in the U.S. If you own a business or you're in charge of growing a business, this is a key fact, and you should know how it can work for you. That's where we come in. At Civic Media, our local radio stations influence local people, the same people who shop and buy at your place. Now we also reach those same customers wherever they are in the digital world as well. From podcasts to streaming to apps, laptops, and smartphones, our digital advertising capabilities ensure that we deliver the right message to the right people at the right time. And with our state-of-the-art measurement systems, we can prove it. Schedule a short meeting to learn how we can partner locally to help your business thrive. Go to civicmedia.us. Click on sponsorship. You'll hear back within 24 hours.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Civic Media Spotlight. We now head north to a conversation on Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, where Pat discusses what would happen if the shoe was on the other foot when it comes to political parties here in America.
Happy birthday wishes to George Benson, who turns 81 years old today and gave us one of those, landmark little light rock, a little bit of crossover soft jazz hits with Breezin' back in the day. As Greg sways to the music, you can't help it, you know? Again, on a snowy day like this, you just want to hear George's guitar as it comes up here.
Just come on.
I know, smooth.
I'm going to download his greatest hits right now.
You should. A couple more tunes from George Benson along the way on this Friday morning on Up North News Radio. Let's give the phone number out, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. Would love to know, have you called in just to say where you're at, how much snow you got, what the roads are looking like. And if you're shy that way, text it. That same number is how you text us, 855-75-CIVIC. In the news today, did you, I don't know if you heard about this. I mean, this has got people really upset. Imagine Hunter Biden being given control of the Democratic National Committee. And all donations to Democrats will go to lawyers instead. Instead of helping Democratic candidates, will go to lawyers working for Hunter Biden in the midst of this criminal investigation against him. Wait, I'm sorry. I'm being told that's not Hunter Biden and the Democratic Party. It's the Trump family and the Republican Party. Ah, yes. Yes, here it is now. There was just a typo on the script where it said Hunter Biden. It was supposed to say the Trump family, because there's been a new arrangement made with the Republican National Committee that a portion of donations that go to the newly formed Trump 47 fundraising committee to save America will be used to cover Donald Trump's legal bills. It's this is not normal, folks. It's not normal. If you're giving to a candidate, that's fine. You know that they may do all kinds of things with it. When you give to a party, you're expecting that your donation is going to be used to get Democrats or Republicans elected up and down the line. You would not want the Biden family taking over the Democratic National Committee any more so than you would want the Trump family taking over, because again, it's always one big grift. It's one big money grab. And I'm sad at the number of, you know, sweet little old ladies and other well-meaning people who felt like they were helping to save America and make America great by sending in their check for $25 or, you know, $250. And that's a lot for them. But they think that, you know, Donald Trump, that nice young man, this is the way to go. It's not the way to go. It's going to pay his lawyers for his many legal cases against him. One of them that was especially in the news yesterday and continues to be is Donald Trump's effort to find money, not just for the legal bills, but now to pay for his bond if he wants to appeal the judgment against him in that civil fraud case, you know, where he was running his business fraudulently. He was inflating the value of properties for selling purposes, but deflating the value of properties for tax purposes, doing it to such an extent you couldn't look the other way. You couldn't not file criminal charges because it was so egregious. And now he's been, you know, found guilty in that civil fraud case. If he wants to appeal, he's got to put up the money first. That's $464 million was the judgment against him. And this so-called billionaire is having a tough time scraping together $500 million. Apparently, $500 million doesn't go as far as it used to. And more than 30 different entities, whether it's banks, insurance companies, hedge funds, whatever, have already told Trump no, as Trump's lawyers told the judge this week. And as a result, the judge in this case is now warning that he wants to see any details on the Trump Organization's attempts to secure a bond in this civil fraud case. Why is that? Because it's one thing to write a check or to put up liquid cash. It's another thing to put up your properties as bond. But how much are those properties really worth? Remember, the whole thing that got him in trouble for this was inflating the value of his property. So they may very well be leveraged. They may very well have loans out against them right now, which makes them a little bit less valuable as Trump tries to post his bond. And of course, there's the foreign angle to it of, you know, who does he turn to get this money? Does he turn to the Saudis? Does he turn to Russian oligarchs? Does he turn to some other foreign entities? And should a major party candidate for president be financially in debt to either hostile nations or other foreign entities? Same questions we asked 4 years ago. I get that. But the questions are still valid here because you want to know whose side is Donald Trump on. And clearly, given all that he has said to try to undo the NATO alliance, all that he's done to undo free and fair elections in the United States, it's pretty clear to see where he lies in terms of defending America versus defending the Trump Organization. And he's going to go with the Trump Organization every single time. So remember that when you're writing that check out, just think, would I write a check out to Hunter Biden? Would I write a check out to Jared Kushner, who got reportedly $2 billion from the Saudis to start his own hedge fund after the presidency? Because, of course, that doesn't buy any access. That doesn't smack like a quid pro quo at all, does it? Of course it does. And that's why the judge wants to be extremely careful on this, because if he can't post the bond, then yeah, Trump Tower won't belong to Trump, along with several other properties. That's called consequences. That's the consequences of not playing by the rules that everybody else has to play when you're paying your taxes, when you're buying and selling your properties. No one person's above the law. No matter how much he tries to put himself above the law, he can't do that. It's as simple as that. Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz said Thursday she will not recuse herself from a case dealing with the legality of mobile voting sites. A conservative law firm, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, filed a lawsuit back in December of 2022 saying that city officials illegally used a voting van to collect absentee ballots around the city that year. The court has yet to decide whether to take the case. If Protasiewicz were to recuse herself for some reason, then it could be that that case deadlocks at 3-3. But Protasiewicz said Thursday, she said she can act impartially in the case. And I have no desire to act impartially on this case. When we're talking about voting, again, there's only one political class, political party in this country dedicated to suppressing votes, to not making it easy for American citizens to vote. And you see that in cases like this. Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil joins us on the other side. This is Up North News Radio.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow is affiliated with the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
CBS News Brief. Rescue crews have been searching for a 6-year-old girl believed to have been swept away into the Delaware River in Chester, Pennsylvania. Mayor Stephen Roots says it's now a recovery mission.
All across the city, we're in mourning. for this little girl.
Much of the upper Midwest, from Montana and Wyoming to eastern Michigan, is getting snow. National Weather Service meteorologist Mark Chouinard.
The heaviest snowfall accumulations from this system, kind of in a swath across portions of central Nebraska into South Dakota, and then central northern Minnesota, northern Wisconsin. That whole area, 6 to 12 inches.
First court appearances today for two suspects in the Moscow mass shooting that left more than 130 people dead. One has been ordered held for 2 months. The BBC's Steve Rosenberg.
The Islamic State group has said it was behind the attack. It's released graphic footage of it. But Russian officials continue to claim there is a link to Ukraine.
And that's something Ukraine denies. CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It's the Bucks against the Thunder. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A special night tonight at the Bucks game. It's the Women's Empowerment Game, honoring career women in the workplace. Head coach Doc Rivers.
I just think women in sports is important in society. There's so many stats behind that. You know, Fortune 500 companies are run by a lot of women who were in sports. Actually, the majority of those women were in sports in some way. Really important. Not just as a player. I'm saying as a student manager, as a reporter. It's just really important. The self-confidence. I mean, all those stats say that when you're involved in sports and you're a woman, there's less abuse, there's less everything. It's good that we're doing that. It's good that the league is doing that. You know, it reminds me a lot of, you know, when I first started coaching, a black young coach. And now they just say a young coach. Hopefully someday we get to that point.
That's the Bucks, Doc Rivers. From Five Serve Forum, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Snow will be heavy at times for today with highs in the mid-30s, and we'll see a gusty southeast wind up around 30 miles per hour. Snow changing to rain and snow. Before this is all said and done, 3 to 6 inches of accumulation in the area. It's 30 at our studios.
Celebrating 75 years.
We got something going here in Madison.
On the ice.
Shoots and scores again.
Against the boards.
He hangs on. Badgers kill off the major.
Between the pipes.
Redirect another fantastic stop.
This is Badger Hockey.
Shoots one, scores. Wow.
It's everything.
For the win, he shoots and scores.
Badger Hockey lives here.
Keep it going.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel, white-tailed deer, black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it. The moon.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to James Help Seth Pick the Next Theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry, though. It'll be fine.
Yeah, all right. You got me. I give up.
That's it. The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We continue our tour of morning shows across the Civic Media Radio Network by heading to Madison for a conversation from the John and Gordy Show, when John and Gordy were joined by Nick Ramos, the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, this week to get an update on the current state of redistricting and new maps in Wisconsin.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Ed's House of Excuses. The next time you need a good excuse for being late to work or forgetting your spouse's birthday, just call the House of Excuses. We guarantee that we'll come up with a good excuse for you on the spot. Our guarantee is simple. If we don't come up with a good excuse for you, we promise to give you a good excuse for not coming up with one.
There we go. And we need an excuse. This is Mad Radio, WMDX, and the John and Gordy Show. And now I want to ask you, Sam, do we take this call first before we get to our special guest this morning?
I don't know who it is, but sure.
All right, let's take this call. We don't know who it is, but you have a comment about what we have been talking about so far.
Oh, yeah. This is just more of the, you know, word salad they come up with when they got nothing.
Yeah.
Another example yesterday was this nonsense about impeachment. I mean, how much longer do we have to go through that?
Right.
You know, I heard, too, that Parnas accused Giuliani of buying really cheap vodka, too, on top of everything else.
Well, that's inexcusable, by the way.
Really.
Right.
That's too far.
Right. But, I mean, this nonsense yesterday with the impeachment.
Yeah.
It just, I couldn't believe some of the stuff they were coming up with again. Same old, and there's nothing there. Just absolutely nothing.
Well, I think the Democrats definitely made a point that there was nothing there. I've got a few tracks, by the way, if we have time, I'll play them. But yeah, it was such a disaster for them that they actually made a case against Trump at this point. So it went backwards for them.
They've got nothing and they don't have any votes either.
All right.
Not enough anyway.
Hey,
all right.
Thanks for giving us a call. We've got our special guest here, Nick Ramos from Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
That's right.
Hey,
welcome
to
Nick.
The studio.
We appreciate you coming in.
Man, let me tell you, fellas, first time caller, long time listener, big fan. And, you know, this has got to be the earliest I've been up in Madison, and I've been a Madisonian since September 1st, 2023. So
wow.
The fact that you guys were able to twist my arms and get me up this early, it is a testament to the fact that I'm a big fan. So.
Well,
we're going to make this an enjoyable experience for you by talking about redistricting.
Boy.
This has really hit the fan, and you know, I know that you're big on the redistricting problem that we have in this state.
Yeah.
But how do you feel about Governor Evers avoiding the Supreme Court decision on, you know, what maps they were going to use instead of bypassing it and just having his maps approved? Does that not delay the process? Does that not delay what we want? The point we're trying to make, right, is to redo how those maps are drawn every 10 years. Not just this time, but in the future, right?
Yeah, and you know, that's a good question. And honestly, I think in this entire process, we got to see the legislature, because the legislature is the one body that is, you know, has the authority to create the bills, to draw the maps, to get us what we're going to be voting for our legislature. But the problem is, because they're the same body that gerrymandered the hell out of this state, they have decided that they've wanted to railroad all types of crazy nonsense bills. And so it's why we've gotten to this point where we had to have litigation. We had to have the Supreme Court case. And I know that there was a lot of camps that wanted the Supreme Court to make the decision on, you know, picking a map. But legal calculus wise, like, you know, and I'm an attorney, and I was working with a lot of attorneys going through this entire process, and I work with the Fair Maps Coalition as a part of the Democracy Campaign. And a court imposed map provides a lot of different legal risks versus a map that is voted on in the legislature, signed by the governor. And so I just think at the end of the day, it made a lot more sense to be able to bring fair maps through legislation than allowing it to just be the opportunity that there could be a SCOTUS challenge down the line with the Supreme Court, you know, leaving the case open. And then there's potential that there could be a challenge by, you know, Will or by, you know, the speaker. And then we could then have, you know, our entire election be thrown into chaos, into limbo. And so I wanted to make sure, and the Fair Maps Coalition wanted to make sure that we were going to do everything in our power to bring fair maps to Wisconsin, and Governor and the Fair Maps Coalition and Law Forward, we brought it home.
All right. Now you're talking about possibly somewhere along the way here, devising a way to come up with fair maps without going through the legislature. The legislature basically giving up their job to put those maps together and giving it to an independent source?
Man, you know,
is that what we're looking at or trying to get to?
Let me tell you something, man. If I got, you know, if this was Aladdin and I got a magic lamp and I got three wishes, I would sit here and I would use one of those wishes on that goal because because I mean, the legislature has proven in this entire process, and for the last over the last 13 years, that they don't give a damn about us in this. I mean, like, when I got this job 6 months ago, guys. All right, and right off the rip, what did we see happen in the last 4 months? We saw the Iowa redistricting bill that they threw out there, and they were like, okay. Do we get a chance in the assembly to even have a public hearing on this thing? No. Right. They just voted on it. Mm-hmm. And then, so my group, you know, Democracy Campaign within the Fair Maps Coalition, we held a public telling because we're pissed off. We're like, why can't the people be invited to be able to give you guys some testimony like any other bill?
Exactly.
And then what ended up happening right after that? A day later, the Senate then put out a notice and said, hey, we're going to do a public notice, and we're going to give you guys an opportunity to do give testimony. It was the first hearing on a redistricting bill in 13 years.
Wow, it's hard to even imagine that the Senate did that.
Holy cow, because we're over here putting their feet to the fire because people are fed up. And so, like, we got that opportunity. And then, you know, they tried to railroad that through to try and get in front of the Supreme Court before they could make a decision. Mm-hmm. And so it's just at this point, honestly, like, the North Star for us is let's take it out of the legislature's hands. Again, everybody, it makes more sense to have a nonpartisan entity be able to go in, draw the maps, and then let's allow for Wisconsin voices to be actually heard. Because at the end of the day, we've seen it. It's beyond me to think that, like, everybody knows that Wisconsin's had the most gerrymandered maps in the entire country. Mm-hmm. And it's
really? Did everybody know that? They pretended like they weren't the most gerrymandered maps. They're still thinking that they weren't.
No, and it's crazy because, I mean, there's, like, emails that were pulled at open record requests that literally show them being like, oh, well, let's look at Brown Deer. Yes. Let's look at some of these cities, how we want to carve them up. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, it would be very nice to be able to find get a piece of legislation across the finish line that creates a nonpartisan redistricting process, and then in the next couple cycles, get a constitutional amendment, enshrine it, and then let's be done with it. Let's quit the rabbit hole of this partisan gerrymander once and for all, and then let's start thinking about actually giving a damn about the Wisconsin people so that future generations don't have to deal with this problem.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Nick Ramos from Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. He's the executive director. If you'd like to chime in, our number is 608-879-8255. Nick, I want to ask you about implementation of these maps. Where does it go from here? How does that happen?
Yeah, well, so, I mean, the big thing was, and the court in Clark v. Wisconsin Election Commission set a deadline, for like March 15th-ish, because, you know, and candidates want to start collecting signatures for the fall, so they can be on the ballots. And so I think soon we're going to be finding out, you know, some questions as far as I know that the governor asked the Supreme Court specifically about what are we going to do with special elections, what are we going to do with recalls, because there was some ambiguity as far as whether or not the implementation of the governor's maps mm-hmm. would be applicable into those situations. And so right now we're kind of in a limbo state, and we're going to get more clarity on that those two particular situations, because we know that Senator Lena Taylor is going to be a judge, it looks mm-hmm. like. Mm-hmm. And then we know that there's a potential recall effort for Speaker Robin Voss at this moment.
But that's in front of the Supreme Court right now, though, the
Correct.
Redistricting
Correct.
Lines and what will be in effect and what won't be. And Robin Voss is trying to get that determined so, you know, that he's kind of safe. That was the negotiation.
Yeah.
Will that negotiation hold up in front of the Supreme Court at this point?
Well, I mean...
And that's what we're looking at.
That's that, again, right? We're all kind of wondering and speculating at this moment in time.
Mm-hmm.
But,
right.
But, I mean, we'll see. I think the Supreme Court has proven that it is very capable and very able to move very quickly mm-hmm. and make decisions very quickly. And so, you know, I've got a lot of faith in them. And again, I mean, it was a landmark decision to be able to show us that, again, it seems very, everybody knows that our maps are very gerrymandered. So, you know, it's a slam dunk, but I'm glad that they were able to come out and on in very clear and concise terms and be able to do it in a way that I thought was going to preserve any federal challenges. So, like, again, in this situation, I think we're going to be good. And going forward, in the fall, when the maps do get implemented, we have a large-scale effort that we are coordinating right now mm-hmm. in the lead-up to November to ensure that voters across the entire state are aware of the implications of these maps, not only the changes of districts, but the opportunities that these maps present for folks. That the fact that you're going to get an opportunity at looking at a more balanced legislature in a way that you haven't in years in
the
state. Well,
let's hope anyway.
Yeah, I mean, in theory. And yeah. I mean, look, it creates more competitive districts, and it gives opportunities for public policy that has been sitting on the shelf and been living to die
yes.
for mm-hmm. years.
I know.
And we're going to be educating folks all across the state about this one shot. And I'm going to tell you, if you got a shot at the king, you best not miss. So guess what? You need to go vote not only in April, but you need to go vote in November. You guys know it's a presidential election out there, right?
Yeah.
So just because, you know, we're voting for president, that's important. But you need to go out there and vote like your life matters, because guess what? We're getting new voting maps, and they're going to be more fair than we've been privy to for the last 13, 14 years now.
You would think that even conservative voters would be, you know, just tired of being encased, as I say on the show often, yeah. encased in amber for the last 13, 14 years, yeah. ever since Scott Walker came in. We have not progressed. We have actually gone backwards, and we've preserved all of these bills that could happen and are just laying dormant someplace, and we really have to kind of change things around, and it's going to at least maybe take a couple of elections, but we've got to start in this election in November. We've got to make some change there and maybe even tilt the scale, at least maybe in the Assembly or the Senate, one of those, but we've got to really kind of work on this.
As the executive director of the Democracy Campaign, my biggest thing is that, you know, no matter what, we want to make sure voter turnout is high, and we want to make sure that folks, no matter what your party affiliation is, that you are out there and you are voting and that you are participating, because this is a historic moment in Wisconsin, and you cannot let it just flee. Like, we need to make sure that at this moment, the legislature is going to, like, if you look at the maps, it looks like, for all intents and purposes, it will most likely shift in a way that is going to be very radical for what it has been. I mean, we've been looking at a supermajority and a majority in both chambers. And now we're looking at, now it's going to be way, way more closer to 50-50 than it, and it hasn't been that way in years.
Well, one of the interesting things, you know, over time now is that the Republicans haven't had to listen to anybody. They've had the meetings, they've had the public sessions, but they've always, and in these sessions, the opposition is always like 99% of the people who show up.
Oh, you don't gotta tell me.
They ignore them. And so maybe that can change finally, and the people will get what they want.
Well, I mean, and don't you think too, at the end of the day, that any conversation shouldn't just be one-sided? Don't you think that?
Exactly, right? You'd think that would work.
Well,
all right, we're gonna take a break here.
Yeah, we're talking with Nick Ramos. He's the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Nick, can you hang around a few more minutes?
For you boys, man, I'll be here all morning.
All right. See?
More coming up.
A little caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
The John and Gordy Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WMDX weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabe.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media Spotlight. Be sure to follow Civic Media on all of your favorite social media channels to stay in the know with programming and updates from around the network. We now head to southeastern Wisconsin for a conversation from the Don Rosen Show, where Don was joined this week by Executive Director of the Racine Neighborhood Watch to talk about their event taking place this week, Take a Taste Out of Crime.
Down in old Mexico, if you're ever in Alaska, stop and see my cute little Eskimo. Oh, my sweet Fraulein down in Berlin town makes my heart start to yearn, and my China doll.
It's 7:08 at WRJN Radio. I'm Don Rosen. Thanks for joining us today. I just remember him singing this on the Ozzy and Harriet show. Boy, that was a gold mine for that show. Everybody tuned it in just to hear Ricky sing. Susan Fearlock is here. She's the executive director of Racine Neighborhood Watch. Now, Neighborhood Watch, I got to tell you something. I have a next-door neighbor. You know who Gladys Kravitz is?
Oh, we talk about her all the time.
Yeah, she's Gladys Kravitz. She's the one who looks out the window the minute the siren is heard. Then when she goes outside, I see her with her arms folded, following the police car down the block. And I always say to her, so what's going on? Well, here's what I found out. So she is the Gladys Kravitz of our neighborhood. And you need people like that.
Absolutely.
Poke their nose out the door and see what's going on. And I poke my nose out, but if I don't see it right in front of my face, I go back into my little hole and I hibernate till the next siren comes by.
Well, actually, we encourage more of a coordinated event, and that's called the Neighborhood Block Watch Program. And what we do is we work with neighbors to establish a neighborhood block watch program. Typical neighborhood block watch area is corner to corner, odd and even side of the street. So what we do is we bring neighbors together. We provide information about crime prevention and safety. We also invite a law enforcement officer to come to an organizational meeting for the block watch and give neighbors the tools that they need to feel comfortable calling law enforcement should there have a problem. Racine Neighborhood Watch is different than most neighborhood watches. We are our own 501c3 nonprofit organization. Back in the 80s, when Racine Neighborhood Watch was started by a volunteer group of community leaders, government agencies, and other law enforcement, that was really decided that in order for crime prevention to be effective, you needed to involve the community and police. Sometimes you ask people, you know, who's responsible for fighting crime, and they'll say the police. But that's not true. It has to be a partnership between neighbors and law enforcement. You know, a lot of times people say, I don't know if I should call police.
I don't want to get involved.
Am I bothering them? What happens if I call and, you know, there's kids walking down my street? I call, they're already gone. What, you know? But we encourage neighbors to do that because it's all a process. When you call the non-emergency number and you get that documented, that builds a history for law enforcement so that when they come to your neighborhood again, they can pull it up and say, okay, we've seen that this neighbor has called for this noisy house. The neighbor next to them called about the same noisy house. We have neighbor number three calling about the same noisy house. It ticks it up the priority list for officers to come and address that situation. There's so many ways that you can connect with law enforcement now. You can call the non-emergency number. When you call the non-emergency number or 911 if it's an emergency. Now, a true emergency, I used to say this to my kids when I was working and they were little. A true emergency is if there is blood, broken bones, fire, or death. That's the only time you call me at work. That's kind of the idea behind a 911 call. It's a true, you know, emergency where there are life and death consequences. But calling the non-emergency number is a way to report what's going on. When you talk to the non-emergency number, which is 262-886-2300, you can say, hey, here's my phone number. Call me if you have any questions. You know, hey, I want to see a law enforcement officer. Further, a new program that we've taken on is, well, it's not a new program, but it's new to us, is Racine County Crime Stoppers. That's another way for you to connect with law enforcement and report what you see. It's not as expedient when there's an emergency, but if you're, for example, your security camera catches perhaps what you suspect is maybe a drug deal going on in front of your house, you can upload that to Crime Stoppers and know that that information is being relayed and reviewed.
That's the newest thing for fighting crime, these Ring doorbells and cameras. I mean, they a lot of them work on motion only, but some of the cameras, like the guy who lives across the street from me, that camera runs 24/7.
There is a program through the City of Racine Police that if you have a security camera, you can register the fact that you have that camera with police. So, for example, maybe there's a car that's involved in a crime and it goes speeding past your house. If that's on file with police, they can call you and say, hey, can you look between the hours of 10 and 2 and see if your camera caught this? Oh, it did. Great. Well, can we come take a look at it? Or can we give you a link and you can upload it to our, you know, informational bank? Never have to see police, but again, it's a way for you as a neighbor to be connected and provide that important information.
And it's so easy to send these Ring videos out. All you do is have to look at it and just share, and you send it to anybody you want. You know, go ahead, Juan.
The thing is, sharing it over social media and connecting with police are two different things.
No, I mean sharing it with police. You know, you can put it to. You know, I watch enough Dateline on TV to know that the first thing you do is check the area. Where are the security cameras? It's so hard to get away with crime these days. First of all, you got DNA, which doesn't lie. I mean, if your DNA's there, you've got some questions to answer. The other thing is cameras. They can tell where you were, what time you left. And you can't lie because the camera caught you, your DNA's there. It's very easy to catch criminals today, but you still need people to report.
Absolutely, because like Crime Stopper says, when you see something, say something. It's when you don't say something and you sit on that information, or you think, well, my neighbor next door is going to call police, or my neighbor across the street is going to call police. That's what we talk about in a neighborhood block watch program. Everybody has to take responsibility for the safety of their neighborhood.
And you can call anonymously. You know, you don't have to give your name. If people are worried about that, you know, especially elderly people, I don't want to come into my house. Mm-hmm. Well, don't give me a name then.
Oh, and you don't have to have police come to your house. It's really helpful sometimes to at least give your phone number in case they need to follow up. But if you choose to be anonymous, you can.
Okay, Susan Fearlock is here. We're talking about take a taste out of crime. I got it right.
Yay.
At Roma Lodge is Friday. More on that coming up in a moment. Partly sunny today. Beautiful day for the first day of spring. Highs near 50. Clear tonight. Lows around 26. For tomorrow, sunny. Highs only near, is that right? 35? Oof. And snow likely Thursday night and Friday may be an end. Spring kicks in tonight at 10:06 Central Time, Central Daylight Savings Time. Cloudy now, 31 degrees at 7:19 at WRJN Radio, Hometown Radio Refreshed, a Civic Media station.
The Don Rosen Show.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover. We are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Monday on Matt Mayer on Air, we talk school board elections and the good, the bad, and please make it stop. Don't miss it.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Peter